Representative Esquivel.
Mr. Speaker, privilege of the floor.
Certainly.
We got an afternoon student page, and it's the younger sister of the one we had this morning. It's Ariel Esquivel Melanson. This is her second time being a page for us. She's 8 years old in the third grade in the Gifted and Talented program at Kiffin Elementary in Golden, Colorado. She enjoys biking, skiing, swimming, reading, and Irish dance. They'll probably make you do one of those a little later. She plays violin and also loves to act and sing. Aria.
Welcome to the House. With that order of business, and messages from the Senate.
Message number 208. Mr. Speaker, the Senate did concur on House amendments to the bill listed below, which is Senate File 43, Prioritization of Municipal Solid Waste Facility Projects, Ayes 28, Noes 1, 1 excused, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 209. Mr. Speaker, the Senate did concur on House amendments to the bill listed below, Senate File 61, Veterans Resident Tuition Provisions, Ayes 27, Noes 2, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 210. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill 11, Controlled Substances, Ayes 28, Noes 1, 1 excused, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 211. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill 20, Fire Prevention and Electrical Safety Fees, Ayes 29, Noes 0, Excused 1, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 212, Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on the third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill 24, Registration Fees, House Trailers, Ayes 20, Noes 9, 1 Excused, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 213, Concurrence requested. House Bill 25, Funeral Service Practitioners Act. The House bill listed above passed on the third reading in an amended form by this vote. Ayes 28, Noes 1, 1 excused. The Senate respectfully asks the House to concur by adopting the listed amendments. Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 214, concurrence requested on House Bill 32, Snowmobile Permit Registration Fees. The vote there, ayes 25, noes 4, 1 excused. The Senate respectfully asks the House to concur by adopting the listed amendments. Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 215, Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill 33, Jury Pool Selection, Archaic Language, ayes 29, 1 excused. Signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 216. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill 34, Solid Waste Cease and Transfer Eligibility. Ayes 29, 1 excused. Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 217. Concurrence requested. Mr. Speaker, House Bill number 43, Children in Need of Supervision-Age. The House bill listed above passed on third reading with 28 ayes, 1 no, 1 excused. The Senate respectfully asked the House to concur by adopting the listed amendments. Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 218. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill 71, Leasing of Equipment, ayes 29, 1 excused. Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill 91, Real Estate Loans-Limitations, ayes 28, 1 no, 1 excused, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 220, Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill 96, Professional Assistance Programs, ayes 29, 1 excused, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 221, Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill 147, Infrastructure Authority, Energy Transmission, ayes 28, noes 2, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 222. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. House Joint Resolution number 1, support of Taiwan. Ayes 29, noes 1. Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 223. Committee of the Whole indefinitely postponed. Mr. Speaker, the Senate adopted the Committee of the Whole report, failing the bill listed below by the vote indicated as House Bill 140, Complementary Hunting Licenses, Persons with Disabilities, 8 ayes, 22 noes. This bill has been indefinitely postponed. Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 224, Committee of the Whole, reconsideration. Mr. Speaker, a motion to reconsider the Committee of the Whole report, failing the bill listed below by the vote indicated, failed. House Bill 140, Complementary Hunting Licenses, Persons with Disability, ayes 10, noes 20. The bill has been indefinitely postponed, signed by Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk.
With that order of business of reports from standing committees.
Mr. Speaker, Committee number 2, Appropriations, to whom was referred Senate File 39, engrossed Grand Teton National Park, transfer of state lands, reports back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Blickery, Burkhart, Escobel, Moniz, Nicholas, Stubson, Harshman voted no. Signed by Representative Harshman, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 2, Appropriations, to whom is referred Senate File 48, Cultural Trust Fund Board Membership, reports back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Blickery, Burkhart, Escobel, Harshman, Moniz, Nicholas, and Stubson, signed by Representative Harshman, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, to whom is referred Senate File 113, engrossed Task Force on Expansion of Natural Gas Service, reports back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with following amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Byrd, Kennedy, Larson, Lockhart, Reeder, Summers, and Winters. Those who voted no, Representatives Greer and Kasperic, signed by Representative Lockhart, Chairman.
With that order of business of reading and signing enrolled acts. First enrolled act for our consideration is House Enrolled Act Number 9, being original House Bill 6.
Bill number, Enrolled Act Number 9, original House Bill Number 6, an act relating to crimes and offenses.
I'm about to sign House Enrolled Act Number 9, being original House Bill 6. I have so signed. The next enrolled act for our consideration is House Enrolled Act Number 10, being original House Bill 10.
Enrolled Act Number 10 from original House Bill Number 10, an act relating to water.
I'm about to sign. House Enrolled Act Number 10, being original House Bill 10. I have so signed. The next enrolled act for our consideration is House Enrolled Act 11, being original House Bill 46.
Enrolled Act Number 11 from original House Bill Number 46, an act relating to public employees.
I'm about to sign House Enrolled Act Number 11, being original House Bill 46. I have so signed. And the next enrolled act for our consideration is Senate Enrolled Act 9, being original Senate File 16.
Enrolled Act Number 9 from original Senate File 16. An act relating to insurance.
I'm about to sign Senate Enrolled Act Number 9, being original Senate File 16. I have so signed. The next Enrolled Act for our consideration is Senate Enrolled Act 10, being original Senate File 38.
Enrolled Act Number 10 from original Senate File Number 38, an act relating to hunting.
I'm about to sign Senate Enrolled Act Number 10, being original Senate File 38. I have so signed. The next Enrolled Act for our consideration is Senate Enrolled Act 11, being original Senate File 46.
Enrolled Act Number 11 from original Senate File 46, an act relating to state parks.
I'm about to sign Senate Enrolled Act Number 11, being original Senate File 46. I have so signed. The next Enrolled Act for our consideration is Senate Enrolled Act Number 12, being original Senate File 51.
Enrolled Act Number 12 from original Senate File 51, an act relating to workers' compensation.
I'm about to sign Senate Enrolled Act Number 12, being original Senate File 51. I have so signed. The next Enrolled Act for our consideration is Senate Enrolled Act Number 13, being original Senate File 60.
Enrolled Act Number 13, original Senate File 60, an act relating to the titling of vehicles.
I'm about to sign Senate Enrolled Act Number 13, being original Senate File 60. I have so signed. The next Enrolled Act for our consideration is Senate Enrolled Act Number 14, being original Senate File 41. 71.
Okay. Enrolled Act Number 14 from the original Senate File 71, an act relating to the administration of government.
I'm about to sign Senate Enrolled Act Number 14, being original Senate File 71. I have so signed. With that order of business of consideration of bills on general file, Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, on your general file list, number one, take Senate File 14 and move it down somewhere. Won't be heard today. It'll be Monday. Then, after Senate File 17, add the following. Senate File 48, 80, 86, 101, and 113. Mr. Speaker, I move the House resolve itself into Committee of the Whole.
You've heard the motion. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? House is resolved into Committee of the Whole. Welcome back, Representative Winters.
All right, we're off like a herd of turtles. Now, I like turtles, but I'm ready to get a lot of work done today. So we're going to move to our first bill. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File Number 67. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 67 from the Management Council, an act relating to administrative procedure, amending and clarifying specified requirements for the adoption of rules, providing for authority to repeal obsolete rules, providing for the preparation and adoption of certain uniform rules, providing for exceptions, and providing for an effective date. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 12, Rules and Procedures, to whom is referred to Senate File 67, reports back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. They were 13 ayes, 0 noes, signed by Speaker Lubnow, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Speaker Lubnow.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Senate File 67 do pass. This bill does seven things. It was a joint effort by the Attorney General's Office, the LSO, the Governor's Office, and the Secretary of State to bring to us simpler and fewer rules. It allows for easier adoption by reference of federal regulations, so rather than listing all of the federal regulations in the rule, you can just adopt it by reference. The agency has to give an internet site where those regulations are available so it doesn't clutter the code but allows for immediate access to the rules. It allows for ANI to promulgate uniform rules for those things that we do over and over and over again in different agencies, but don't need different rules for. That would be the Freedom of Information Act primarily, and hearing rules, because the hearing process is essentially the same for everyone. It allows some mechanisms for removal of obsolete rules. There's an example they gave of the euthanasia board. We don't have the euthanasia board anymore, so they can't get rid of their rules, but we still have euthanasia board rules that we can't get rid of because we don't have the board to get rid of the rules. And then there's a Supreme Court case that requires that a statement of principal reasons be done prior to the adoption of the rule, and it codifies that so everybody knows that that is out there before rules are promulgated. With that, I'd stand for any questions.
Is there any other discussion on the bill? Representative back there. Burkhardt.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, up there. Just a clarification. I had some kind of curious looks. It's the Animal Euthanasia Board. Thank you.
Thank you for that clarification. Is there any other discussion on the bill? All right. Question being called. All those in favor of Speaker Lubnow's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that Bill number, Senate File number 67 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Senate File number 67 passes Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File number 68. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 68 from the Management Council, an act relating to the general revision of laws, amending archaic and obsolete provisions, conforming provisions to previous enactments, repealing fully executed and otherwise archaic or obsolete provisions, and providing for an effective date. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 12, Rules and Procedures, to whom is referred Senate File 68, reports back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. There were 13 ayes, 0 noes, signed by Speaker Lubnow, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Speaker Lubnow?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with a recommendation that Senate File number 68 do pass. Senate File 68 is the repealer of obsolete laws. Section 101 repeals the statutes 33-1, 107, and 108, which allows counties with an assessed valuation of less than $10 million, or $12 million to impose a tax on professions. We haven't had a county with an assessed valuation of less than $12 million for quite some time, and so that's repealed. Section 102 changes some language in a couple bills. On page 2, line 10, we don't use the term color anymore. We just use the term race, and so that takes out the word color. And we don't use... There's an additional such in there, which would cause a former representative from Natrona County consternation. That is being removed. And then down below that, it says such person has been legitimized. That's no longer a term. We don't legitimize children born out of wedlock. Section 103 repeals the Arts Endowment Fund, which is not active. It hasn't been used in many years, and there's no money in that account. Section 12-5-502, my favorite, repeals the habitual drunkard statute, which allows a spouse to call a liquor dealer and say, my spouse is a habitual drunkard, and then allows for actual or punitive damages if the liquor dealer serves liquor to that person. It's a provision that's been unenforceable for many years, and there's no definition of habitual drunkard. With that, I would stand for any questions.
Is there any discussion on the bill, or are you ready for the question? Question being called. All those in favor of Speaker Lubnow's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Senate File number 68 do pass, please say aye. All those opposed say no.
No.
The chair being in doubt. Let's try that again. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no.
No.
Senate File number 68 has passed Committee of the Whole.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Zwanitzer.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. Can I get privilege of the floor?
Please proceed.
Thank you. Members of the 62nd, the really good news is I don't need you to stand up for this privilege of the floor. The bad news is the Wyoming Arts Council was in the gallery 10 minutes ago, and I was supposed to introduce them because I promised them I would, and I totally forgot, and they've since left. I know, bad on me. So real fast, let me tell you who's on the Arts Council for the state and how much they wanted to be introduced, and that way I can have a penance. Chesney Sevier, Dwayne Evanson, Holly Turner, Aaron Taylor, Janelle Fletcher, Karen Stewart, Stephanie Boster, Neil Hansen, and Tara Taylor are our Arts Council's board for the state of Wyoming, and they should be in the building hopefully for the rest of the afternoon wandering around. So if you see one of them, please tell them thank you for their service.
Next bill for our consideration is Senate File Number 10. We have an amendment with the bill, and we will have the reading of the bill.
Senate File Number 10 from the Judiciary Committee, an act relating to criminal procedure, repealing archaic provisions relating to work release for prisoners, conforming provisions, and providing for an effective date. Mr. Speaker, your Committee Number 1, Judiciary, to whom is referred Senate File 10, Work Release Act Repeal, reports to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. There were 8 ayes, 1 no, signed by Representative Gregory, Chair.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Vice Chairman Crone.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Senate File Number 10 do pass. And I would also move the Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1 at the same time. Ladies and gentlemen of the House, this is basically a bill that repeals some archaic language that exists within our criminal procedure statutes that used to be within the criminal justice system, that when people were incarcerated in any of our prisons, they would have the ability for work release. That was prior to the development of the community correction facilities that are across the state. And the basic nature of the criminal community centers are they're basically halfway houses that can be allowed or ordered by the parole board for prisoners that are good prisoners and that fit within the rules and regulations of the parole board. And so what often happens is if a prisoner is in Rawlins or prisoners in one of the facilities across the state goes before the parole board can order that they go to one of these facilities, where in these facilities they can go out and work, have jobs, have check-in requirements, those sorts of things. So what this bill does is eliminate the work release from the main prison facilities and authorizes the placement of the offender in these correctional community centers that are situated across the state. Talking about the amendment, basically the amendment takes out the paragraph on page 4, 1 through 9, which talks about county commissioners' roles in jails. That's separate and apart and distinct from the state Department of Corrections sort of facilities and placements. Jails are separate from prisons. Jails are under the control and authority of the county sheriff, and this language clears that up in the amendment. So if there's no questions on the amendment, I would move the amendment. I would request a question on the amendment.
We are on Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1 to Senate File Number 116. All those in favor of Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no. Amendment is adopted. We are back on the bill.
Back on the bill. I don't have anything further, but I would stand for questions. Thank you.
Thank you.
Representative Watt.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like you to just stop and think about this before we vote on this. In committee, I asked the DOC, how many do all inmates go through the community corrections facilities? And they said no. You know, so we're talking about a small number of inmates. We have a tremendous number of inmates that are in that facility in the northeast corner and then over there along the Wind River Mountains that could be released, work release, and build a nest egg and help their families and pay their restitution things and pay for some of the costs of housing them. And I also asked the DOC, why did we stop this program? And the answer was because some inmates at some point in time on work release did some bad things, so we just shut the whole thing down. Before we had the community corrections, this is a work release was a program, and it was working and working fairly well. We have a tremendous number of inmates who are in there for white-collar type crimes that could be released to work in the community and I believe should be released. So I'd ask you to think about that as we vote on this bill and as it goes forward, if it goes forward, we could be saving a tremendous amount of money if we just stop and take a look at this, and maybe it's something that we need to look at in the interim. Thank you.
Speaker Love now.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I had a client who chose different counsel and is now serving in the penitentiary, who filed a lawsuit trying to enforce the Work Release Act program. And I'm wondering if the chairman would let it, and that lawsuit is pending in federal court or state, it's pending. I think we all received copies of a letter from my client and another about their lawsuit, and I'm wondering if this legislation came in response to that pending litigation.
Vice Chairman Crum.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. To answer the Speaker's question, I don't believe so, because it's my understanding that this was contemplated before. We did see, or we had heard talk of it in Judiciary Committee during the prior session. And I believe that was prior to the lawsuit that you had indicated. Basically, the situation is that the Department of Corrections hasn't had this work release program in effect. The testimony was for over 10 years. So I believe that that's separate and apart from the lawsuit. The testimony before the committee was that if an inmate qualified, they would qualify, depending on their sentence, the nature of the crime, and their behavior within the facilities, they would qualify for these community placements across the state at some stage if they were eligible for parole. So I believe this is a cleanup bill. And if further discussion about whether there should be a work release program related to the actual penitentiary's systems, I think that would be better left for potentially an interim topic or another session. So thank you.
Representative Blickery.
Mr. Chairman, so I guess my question is, if we don't pass this, what happens?
Vice Chairman Crum.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I don't think anything would happen. I think that the statute would say the same. It would not require the Department of Corrections reestablish the work release program. I think we would have basically an obsolete statute on the books. I don't think it would require the DOC to continue or to renew the work release program.
Is there any other discussion on the bill? Are you ready for the question? Question being called. All those in favor of Vice Chairman Crone's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Senate File Number 116 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no.
No.
Pardon me. Senate File Number 10 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no.
No.
Senate File Number 10 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File Number 116. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 116 from Senator Burns, an act relating to criminal procedure, amending or repealing provisions enumerating crimes for which expungement of felonies is not allowed as specified and providing for an effective date. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 1, Judiciary, to whom is referred Senate File 116 engrossed, reports to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. There were 6 ayes, 3 noes, signed by Representative Gingrich, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Vice Chairman Crone?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Senate Files 116 do pass and would turn the explanation of the bill over to my colleague from over the mountain, Representative Green.
Representative Green.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senate Files 116 is about expungement of felonies. Basically, what expungement is someone's been convicted of a crime, and then later they appeal through the court system to make it as if that crime was never committed. So it will not show up. So essentially, if somebody, after they have their crime expunged, if they're on jury service, and they're asked the question, have you ever been convicted of a felony, and it's been expunged, the answer is no. So that is what the simple explanation of expungement itself. All right, let's explain what rights are restored if one has their expungement of a prior conviction. They're allowed to vote, because currently if they have a felony, they're not allowed to vote. They're allowed to run for office, so we may have more competitors coming after us in elections. They can also possess a firearm. They can also serve on a jury. And then also, not from a legal standpoint, but from a practical application, if one has a felony conviction, whether it be from 25, 30, 40 years ago, that will still make it more difficult for them to obtain a job and also disqualify them from certain employment. So that's what we're trying to help these individuals out who have paid their debt to society. A couple years ago, we passed the expungement process. This bill is adding more crimes to that list that can be expunged. Next, I'd like to look at I made a handout for everybody. If you could look in your box, it's a 3-page handout, I believe, or 2-page handout. One's front and back, and then you have the 2 pages that are the statutes. We go to the statutes first, and I highlighted a certain portion right there, and that is the what the person has to do. So if you look, they have to have gone 10 years have passed since the expiration of the terms of the sentence imposed by court, including any periods of probation. So they haven't had any problems with crime ever since they've been released, and it's been over 10 years since they've either been incarcerated or actually had any probation conducted. They completed any program ordered by the court, and they've also have met all the restitution requirements by the court. Okay, so if you go to the next page, this is what the expungement process, what the person will do. They'll have to notify the prosecuting attorney, and you can look through, see where the star is on C. So the prosecuting attorney shall notify the victims if there's any identifiable victim. So they're going to notify the court, and then the court's going to notify any victims. So if any victim has any problems with the perpetrator, then there's an appeal process, and it'll go to a court, and the judge will make the determination. So the victims are going to get notified, and they're going to be able to have their say that they don't want the person to have their crime expunged. They'll have their opportunity in court to say, hey, this person should not have this crime expunged. So your next question probably is, what crimes are being expunged? So if you go to the first page of that handout, here's the list, and it's a 2-page handout. The first one has to do with explosives. And let me just say, to start this off, the prime sponsor from the Senate, if anybody has any problems with any of the crimes that are listed, he will gladly meet with anybody here and make a second reading and a third reading amendment. So if there's any crimes you want to remove other than the drug offenses. The drug offenses are the ones he really wants to keep in, but as we were making the list, people kept coming up with more crimes that they thought should be expunged. So we would like to keep in the drug offenses. If there's any other offenses you want to have removed, the sponsor of the bill, the good senator, will gladly meet with you and make a second reading amendment to get the bill through, because we want to make sure that we have the drug offenses removed. Okay, so back to that handout. The next one down you see is promoting prostitution. The next one is interference with a peace officer, disarming a peace officer. And that's the reason we have the engrossed copy. Originally, we made a mistake when it was drafted. We were going to expunge assaulting a police officer. We didn't want to remove assaulting a police officer. We wanted to remove disarming the police officer. So that is why we have an engrossed copy. Back to the handout. Perjury is on there. Possession and manufacture of a deadly weapon. The next one is a DUI. Again, I know we passed bills regarding looking back 10 years. If you have 4 offenses, it's a felony. You can go to jail for 10 years. I'd just like to reiterate that you've had to have gone 10 years since your last offense and completed probation. The next one has to do with drugs, and then the last one has to do with drugs. You see the last one, distribution of a person under 18 in their drug-free school zone. So hypothetically, you could be 18, be a senior in high school, and you gave sold drugs to a 17-year-old. 40 years later, this will still be on your record. So the intent of the bill is to remove that offense from the person. If he hasn't been a menace to society, he's gone the 10 years, he should be able to have that expunged and restore those his right to vote, the ability to possess a firearm. He can serve on a jury, be a productive member of society, and seek employment. And with that, I'll stand for any questions.
Is there other discussion on the bill? Representative Chairman Teeters.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I, you know, we look at this bill, and from a philosophical standpoint, I have to ask myself, why were these felonies to begin with? You know, these are crimes. These people were convicted of crimes. Does it mean anything to be convicted of a crime when the felony is somehow going to be not carried forward? Felonies are felonies. If you commit a felony, you don't get a vote. That's the understanding of the general public. Why don't we just bring a bill making these misdemeanors? We just get softer and softer and softer on crime. And I think we should think about it before we do it.
Representative Green. Let's go to Representative Croker first, and then...
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. One thing to keep in mind, this bill doesn't automatically expunge anything. Right now, if somebody's served their time, spent at least 10 years, and has had a clean record, and is now a functioning member of society, paid their price, they're allowed to apply for an expungement. There just are a few crimes that you are not allowed to even apply for expungement for. This bill just removes some of those exceptions. So by voting for the bill, you're not voting that somebody's record is automatically going to be cleared. He still has to go through the process. It has to go before a judge. People can contest it. So it's nothing automatic with this bill.
Minority Caucus Chair Connolly.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Sorry for laughing. I had just said that I wanted to hit the good chairman of education up the side of the head and get it over with. However, that is inappropriate debate. And the criminal justice system has a three-legged stool. It's punishment, restitution, and rehabilitation. We're talking about crimes that have been punished, where restitution has most likely been paid, and there's also an obligation for us to think about rehabilitation. This is an element of it. It is a long, onerous process to get these felonies expunged. It takes a determination of another court of law, and it goes towards rehabilitation. We want these individuals overwhelmingly, and we know this from the data, who are men, who were young, and in all honesty, not only did they commit a felony, but they did it because they were stupid and most likely drunk. And that what this allows them to do is to become productive members of society in ways that we really value. And that includes things like voting, all right? Telling their kids that it is important to vote. You know, telling their kids that it is important to be part of the political process. And we're telling them that they can never do that again by having a felony. And so I think that is part of our obligation in terms of that three-legged stool to think carefully about rehabilitation and what it means. And one of those things could be the expungement of a felony after going through a process so that they can have certain rights restored. So I'm in favor of this bill.
Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a question under that WS6-5204, it drops down and it says WS68103, possession, manufacturing, disposition of deadly weapons. And here's my question, with unlawful intent, I don't understand in my mind how you would have a way of analyzing unlawful intent. So if that would help me just better understand what we're trying to exempt.
Representative Blickery.
Mr. Chairman, the speaker before the last referred to
stupid drunk men, and I think in fairness to all, there could be stupid drunk women too.
Representative Croker.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. To answer the previous real question, deadly weapon with intent, to be convicted of intent, it has to be proven that you were using that intent. For example, if somebody testified under oath that, yes, I was carrying that gun because I was planning on shooting somebody, that is how you would prove intent. So intent has to be proven. And again, these statutes, it's not automatic expungement. It just allows them, after they've served their time and the time has gone by, if one of those crimes is what committed, they now are allowed to begin the process of applying to have the record expunged.
Representative Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, for allowing me to talk. I would like to gently push back on my good colleague to my left that we're soft on crime in this body, because we certainly aren't. We've actually added 30 new felonies to our statutes in the last 20 years. And if you go on your research product page that LSO gives you, you can have every year and every felony that we've added to our statutes. I don't think we've taken off any felonies since I've been here, but someone can remind me if we have. But in my 10 years, I can't remember one time we've lessened a crime charge. However, since I've been here, we've added 16 new felonies to our statutes, including illegal drug manufacturing, anti-skimming, voyeurism, assault upon a detention officer, killing or injuring a police animal, harboring a sex offender, prescription drug abuse. Anyway, we are not soft in crime in this body. We are very diligent and difficult, and we're adding more felonies to our statutes every year. We already have a very full prison that they told us originally was going to take 10 years to get to capacity, and it happened in 3. And so if there are options like this for people who go through the process, which is very onerous to get this off your record, through multiple courts, I'm in strong support of the bill. Everybody deserves a second chance, at least one. After that, it's debatable. But
is there any other discussion on the bill? Representative Laux.
Mr. Speaker, speaking on in favor of the bill, I guess I go back to even when you're going door to door, and in some of the areas I represent, and the number of people you knock on their door and they say, I can't vote for you. And so you'd ask why, and every one of them was a felony conviction of something from a while back, and a whole lot of them were not things you should lose all your rights for, most of them drug-related, alcohol-related. And this is just really a smart move to make. It helps them get back on their feet, get a real job. I mean, I don't know how many guys that come and look at our place to go to work, and, you know, so many people have felonies. They do need a second chance. Thank you.
Representative Green. Is there any other discussion on the bill? Having heard question being called, all those in favor of Vice Chairman Crone's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that Bill Number Senate File 116 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no.
No.
Senate File 116 passes Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File Number 100. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File Number 100, as introduced by Senator Nicholas, an act relating to the Business Ready Community Program, recapturing funds associated with grants under the program, requiring reporting, modifying rulemaking authority, and providing for an effective date. Mr. Speaker, your Committee Number 2, Appropriations, to whom is referred Senate File 100 engrossed, reports back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with following amendments. There were 6 aye votes, 1 no vote, signed by Representative Harshman, Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Representative Greer.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like the Chairman of Appropriations to introduce this for me, if he could.
Thank you. Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the committee of the whole rise to report, I do so with the recommendation that House Bill 100 do pass. That's what I said, Senate File 100, excuse me, Senate File 100 do pass. And there's one standing committee amendment. And I'm going to turn, I'm sorry, this is all flowing together, members. Okay, I remember it well. Thank you, Ms. Chairman. And I would turn the explanation of the standing committee amendment and the bill over to the good representative Standing Elk from the middle of the state. Thank you.
Representative Standing Elk.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. And I've been called far worse. What I bring to you is Senate File 100, which are some requirements on our Business Ready Community Grant program. Without going into too much history, I have to go into a little bit. As we know, our Constitution prohibits this body of the legislature to make direct appropriations for economic development. And so the legislature has worked around this numerous ways, and I think you'll hear some more about this in some other Senate files that are coming up later. But we've worked around this into where we developed a mechanism under our Business Ready Community program to be able to make appropriations to cities, towns, and counties for infrastructure for a public purpose which would assist with the development of infrastructure, the building of infrastructure. And that has an overall public benefit for the state of Wyoming, our economic development. And this program's been in place for quite a while, and it has continued to morph the longer it's been in place. And each one of these programs has a requirement. Each project has a requirement that the Attorney General's office issues an opinion. And in looking at this, what we've seen is each time we've moved from this has continued to grow and morph. It's a little hard to explain, and I give you all the Attorney General's opinions to read, and you can kind of see it. And we've also done this in the body, where we've amended this set of statutes from time to go from putting in streets, sewers, and water to help smaller communities, or any community for that matter, put some infrastructure in to help with economic development, to all of a sudden allowing buildings and other facilities. And so it's kind of grown. And when we look at the Attorney General's opinions as these projects come in, we get more and more creative on how we do this. And it appears to me, and to the other sponsor of this bill, that we keep blurring that line and we keep stepping out. And this, if you recall back on our budget bill, we had a provision in there, a footnote, that out of these projects, that when the loans were paid back, that we were going to require that money to come back to the state. And where we are right now is when we'll put out these grants or these loans for these projects, what happens is those loans either stay with the cities, towns, and counties, or our community development organizations, or CDOs. And so those funds go out, and then they stay. Now, the idea behind that is that they'll continue to use those for further economic development. But each year, we keep putting more money in the bucket. And those funds are used for operations and for other things. And there's been certain projects that we've seen come up here recently where it just seems like everything gets blurred. So the purpose, the reason why this Senate file was brought, was simply to put some requirements in the statute for the community business ready development projects. And my iPad went down here. In 912.601, and if we look at G, subsection G, it just simply says now, repayments of loans under this section shall be credited to the business-ready community account. Well, what we'd like to see is some more accountability. And if you look at this language in this in gross Senate file, you'll see that repayment will go back and be credited to that account, but that the council should promulgate rules and regulations that identify the type and maximum amounts as percentage of the total grants which are being issued and the revenue that may be recaptured and credited to the account. We go on then and add in N, talking about the grant and loan recipients shall report the expenditures of the progress related to these loans. And all we're trying to do is bring some more accountability to see what's happening with these projects, to know that they're working, that these ARP funds are just lying there idly. It's not changing anything right now, but it's going to try to get us some information to look at this. And then it requires us to come back, the council to come back and report to the Appropriations Committee and the Minerals Committee. Now, the Business Rate Community Grant Program does report to Minerals every year anyway, but these are additional reporting requirements. We want to drill down and see what's going on and what's being required under these grants. So that's all this does, is enhances these reporting requirements. The Standing Committee Amendment, which was, I thought, a good suggestion, and so I'll move the Standing Committee Amendment number 1, and if you look on page 2, line 19, and if I can get you there, this is a nice addition to the bill. So you look on that, and what we're talking is that the report that's going to come back to the Joint Minerals Committee, the report shall include a list of all grants and loan requests. And what the Appropriations Committee wanted was that we want to see that for the last 24 months. We don't want to just see what happened in the last year. We also want to see what happened to the year prior, so we can kind of see a rolling and a little bit of a checkup on what's going on. So with that, without any questions on the Standing Committee Amendment, I'd call for the question on that.
You've heard the motion on the Standing Committee Amendment number 1. Are you ready for the question? Question having been called, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, say no. Standing Committee Amendment number 1 has been adopted. We are back on the bill. Representative Greer.
Okay. Well, actually, I'll just stand back. Mr. Chairman, I've explained the bill. I can always talk more, but I'd just answer any questions that there might be.
Representative Iagi.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think this is a step in the right direction. We've been trying to, or I think a lot of us have been thinking this, but we're trying to get a handle on it. A question, it says it's going to report the progress. The council is going to report the progress. I've asked the council for progress over years, and it's just a little hard coming. So I think this is a step in the right direction, but if the council is going to report the progress, where do they report it, and is the JAC legislature involved in this? Because if they give it to one of these entities, they give a loan, and I think this bill is in anticipation of a loan or a grant that's forthcoming. So I really want to know, they're going to report in the last 2 years we just passed. Who does that report come to, and what accountability is there with that? Thank you.
Representative Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I don't have any specific criticism of what you have in the bill, I guess, but I'm familiar with 601, and as you know, as you read that, you can tell it's a hodgepodge. It's just been added on session by session by session, and I don't know if it's within the purview of what you intend for this exercise that you're suggesting here in N and O, but I think that if you're going to do that, and after you analyze all these loans and how the flow of them are, it might lead you into a way of reorganizing and rewriting 601, because it's just, you read that thing, you read it over 3 times, and you still don't know what you've read, and you can't really tell if a given project is eligible or if it isn't, and the efficacy of each of these little paragraphs is to me in serious questions. But that's my only suggestion is, I don't know if we have to add that in an amendment or not, but the way it is now, it seems like you're almost there, but you need to go a little further.
Representative Greer.
Mr. Chairman, and I do appreciate those comments from the Chair of Revenue, and he's absolutely right. If you look at the legislative history of 601, it is a hodgepodge that we keep adding to. And I think we look at this particular Senate file as a step in the right direction to start gathering some of the information. I believe this is a solid interim topic. Discussion for the Minerals Committee. Those decisions are yet to be made. I think what we need to do is get some of that information and then see if we do need to shift our focus on how we do this, if we need to change things around just a little bit. To get back to the previous question, what we're talking about are loans and grants that have been issued. Okay, the legislature is not going to get involved in reviewing the appropriateness of those loans or grants. What we're going to do is look at the loans and grants that have been approved and what is their status. And so each of the organizations, if it's a CDO or a community or a county that's doing this, or Joint Powers Board, they're to report to the council. And if you look at that, that's on page 2, the paragraph and starting on line 5. And they're going to furnish a comprehensive report to the council that shall state at a minimum and include a cumulative financial audit and a list of the accomplishments as a result of the loan and grant. What are we getting for our money? Then the council will report to the Joint Minerals Economic and Business Development Interim Committee. And that agency's reported to that committee historically. So hopefully that answers that question of how we will do that. And then that report to the Minerals Committee, that's where we come in with a standing committee amendment in terms of we want that report not to be just for the ones in the last year, but we want to see the prior year, and we'll see those roll forward and hopefully can develop a little better picture that may lead to some a rewriting of the statutes. I don't know where this leads, but this is our intent is to get a step in that direction.
Representative Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess I have a little question about line 14G, little g, and the new language added to it. G, original language, is regarding repayment of loans. The new language is talking about grants and a percentage of revenue recaptured from grants. And I'm not sure if, I guess I'm a little confused because N then talks about grants and loan recipients. So I guess, I need some clarification if the new language in G actually belongs there, or maybe it belongs somewhere else. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Greer.
Mr. Chairman, you're pointing out exactly why this bill is needed. Because we're giving loans and grants under this program. In this statute, it contemplates just loans only. And so we're in a recent project that was done using a budget footnote, it was determined that we could do grants but treat them with repayment provisions much like a loan. Not saying it's right. I was just saying that's how it was done, and that's why we're bringing this is so that we can look at that and understand what's going on. And I can explain it to you. I prefer not to air it here.
Representative Yagi.
Again, I sure applaud this. I think it is headed in the right direction. As we look at the history of this, one of my concerns about this whole process is no unfair competition, and you just about don't do these without creating some unfair competition because you're giving a private entity some money to do something. And if some business isn't there now, you're discouraging it from the future. So there's one of the criteria, and I think this is helping. And then the loans and grants are, the loans are so low in a lot of cases because you're trying to stimulate the business to get going. So you give them a break. And in my, I don't know, checking into this, I just haven't found a lot of continuity, and the idea is you give a loan and the money's going to be repaid, and maybe it's down as low as 0.5%. And if you're talking $1 million or $5 million, that's not much of a loan. That's just about a grant. And then the money is supposed to come back to the entity, the city, county, or what do you call them, the loaning organization, boards, the joint powers or whatever. And it's supposed to self-perpetuate itself, but it's not doing, and that's what the speaker just pointed out. So I think this is a step in the right direction, and I would like to see more progress on this and see what we can do with this. So I think I would speak in favor of this.
Is there any other discussion on the bill? Question having been called, all those in favor of Chairman Harshman's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that Bill number 100 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no.
No.
The ayes have it. Senate file number 100 has passed Committee of the Whole.
Mr. Chairman.
Minority Caucus Leader Connolly.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Privilege of the floor.
Please proceed.
Thank you. In the North Gallery, our University of Wyoming students involved with the UW Multicultural Student Leadership Initiative. MSLI is a UW program designed to prepare students for future leadership roles. So their visit here may prepare them and encourage them for a path into leadership. Would you join me in welcoming them with their coordinator, Chicory Bechtel?
Welcome to the People's House. Mr. Majority Whip Stubson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. May I have privilege of the floor?
Please proceed.
Members, maybe a time for an afternoon stretch. I wanted to welcome back to the chamber former Representative Ann Robinson from Natrona County, and maybe welcome her to the floor.
Mr. Chairman, I don't see Mr. Speaker. I am happy to be back for a little visit, and I wasn't planning to say anything, but when Speaker Lubnow mentioned removing such from the statute, I just had to say I thought that probably would go away when I left this body, and I am so happy to see that movement is still going. If you really want to make the statute smaller, if you take all the unnecessary suches out, I'm sure you'll lose 50 pages. Because when those statutes, most of them were written, the attorneys were getting paid by the word. So there were lots of unnecessary words in those statutes. I would also like to say that I am happy that I didn't see any movement this session to remove the exemption of food from sales tax. So thank you for that, and have a good rest of your day. I hope to see lots of you at the Governor's Arts Awards this evening. It's a great event to attend. You'll be entertained very well, and you'll have a nice dinner and get to visit, and I would like to visit with some of you there. Thank you so much.
Speaker Lubnow.
Representative Robinson, welcome back to the House. And you'll be happy to know that about five bills ago, I talked about a great representative from Natrona County who had much consternation over the word such, and we voted to remove it.
Hey. Do we have any other privileges of the floor? All right. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File Number 24. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 24 from the Corporations Committee, an act relating to special elections, providing for declaration of any part of election results to be null and void, providing for limited special election voting as specified, providing for appeals, providing a process for limited special election voting, amending time periods for special elections, providing for rules and regulations, and providing for an effective date. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, to was referred Senate File 24, engrossed, Special Elections and Revisions, respectfully report saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. There were 9 ayes, 0 noes, signed by Representative Berger, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Berger?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I just hope that the body won't fall asleep. We have about 5 bills coming up from corporations, so we've been busy little bees this week. Anyway, Mr. Chairman, I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Senate File 24 do pass. There are no standing committee amendments, and I defer to the good Representative Kirkbride to explain the bill for you.
Representative Kirkbride.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I bring you Senate File 24, Special Elections Revisions. This bill is to update the laws for handling a special election in the event the canvas board cannot determine the outcome of a certain race or proposition. The current language required that if an error was found that could affect the outcome of a race, the entire race had to be thrown out and a special election would then have to be held. The bill before you will do the following, seeking to localize the damage and minimize the expense. So under the election declared null and void statute, on page 2, line 4, the first point that we address is that we're allowing the canvas boards to decide if any or all parts of the results of the race or proposition will be considered void, null and void, due to an error that could have affected the outcome of the election. A change made on page 2, beginning in line 13, it allows the canvas board to decide if all of the precincts, or only the precincts where the error occurred, should be included in the new special election. If only part of the precincts are to be in the special election, those votes in the special election shall be added to the other precincts that were not declared null and void in the originating election. A third change begins on page 3, line 1. The current statute states that any candidate who has clearly won or lost shall not continue on to the ballot for the special election. This bill would require all candidates to continue on the ballot, whether the new election includes all precincts or only some of the precincts. And there's a change beginning on page 4, line 1. This bill will continue to allow only voters who qualified to vote in that portion of the election at the end of the election day in question to be allowed to vote in the special election. Then under the special mail ballot elections section, beginning on page 5, line 17, the time frames for sending ballots out and receiving them back was updated to match how much time there really is to get those things done. And on page 7, line 9, the time frames to return ballots and get replacements was changed to 7 p.m. to unify the closing poll times for other elections. So there are some other changes that need to be wrapped in, or these changes need to be wrapped in with some other changes into state and federal election law. But for now, it's a good fix to allow the local clerks to have the tools they need to settle some of these difficult situations. So I stand for questions.
Is there any further discussion on the bill? Are you ready for the question? Question having been called, all those in favor of Chairman Berger's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Senate File Number 24 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Senate File Number 24 has passed Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File Number 25. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 25 in the Corporations Committee, an act relating to elections, repealing provisions related to ballot labels, making conforming amendments, amending requirements for forms, providing for notification of voter registration information updates and purges, providing for Secretary of State directives, removing provisions for segregated temporary registration lists, removing requirement that Secretary of State certify that registration system is operational, providing that registration through the federal postcard application is valid for one election cycle, amending certification of names of party nominees, providing conforming amendment for registration period statutes, by decreasing deadline for changing party affiliation, amending order of offices listed on ballots, amending requirements for petitions, amending requirements for absentee ballots, amending requirements for delivery and posting of diagrams of voting devices and sample ballots, providing for use of absentee ballots at special elections, removing Secretary of State from process for special mail ballot elections, providing for independent candidate review of voting machines, amending privacy requirements for voting booths, amending a tabulation and certification of elections to include circuit court judges and special district board members, and providing for an effective date. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, to whom is referred Senate File 25 engrossed, reports back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. There were 9 ayes, 0 noes, signed by Representative Berger, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Berger?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that Senate File 25 do pass. I defer to the Representative Green to explain the bill.
Representative Green.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is a 32-page bill, which is sent into the committee bill, which essentially updates the election code and repeals archaic language throughout the bill. And I will walk you page by page, and I'll try to be quick. And if I see anybody stand up with any questions, I'll further explain. On page 3, removing the word ballot labels, you'll see that throughout the bill. That's archaic language. It's not used anymore. Moving on to page 4, we're modernizing. So that's why we're including emails. And for those who may be concerned about confidentiality, lines 20 and 21, email addresses and that other information that precedes it, that is still not public record, and that's still kept confidential at the Secretary of State's office. Moving on to the next page, adding the portion regarding the February 15th, the county clerks were consolidating that information, but they weren't sending it necessarily up to the Secretary of State's office, so now mandates to be passed up to the Secretary of State's office, single database to purge those records. The next portion allows the Secretary of State authority with elections regarding what happens with a natural disaster or some kind of emergency interfering with the election. Moving on to page 6, that has to do with military and overseas citizens who can register and request an absentee ballot through the federal postcard application. The federal law requires we keep those individuals on the voter registration database for one election cycle, which is the year prior to the election and the election year. It used to say one election, but that was not appropriate because they need to be on the voter registration database for any election that takes place during the complete election cycle. So that's why we have that change in there. Moving down, you see the stricken language on line 22. When people were registering in the state, some people were concerned when they had to say, I am not now registered in another county or state. Because they were registered somewhere else. This is how we go through the process of no longer being registered in another state, but actually become registered in the state of Wyoming. Moving on to the next portion. Let's see, number 7. Oh, the reason we're removing that portion regarding the Secretary of State, that was for when we had the Help America Vote Act back in 2003 until 2008. That system is now up and running, so we no longer need that portion in the law, so therefore we're removing that portion. On to page 8, the election cycle, again, the year preceding in the election itself. The next portion you'll see is it has to do with the district attorney. That used to be filed with the state. That actually goes through the county system. There's only 2 district attorneys in the state of Wyoming. We have one in Natrona County. We have one in Laramie County. So that goes through the county system, not through the state. And we'll see that in a couple other places. On page 10, you see we're removing the words residence address. And from my good colleague from House District 44, I believe that does include storage units. So it's archaic. Moving on. Page 12, Sam Lurie, removing residence address. And page 13, we're removing residence address. Also on page 13, so that has to do with petitions. And right now, the Secretary of State's office has trouble reading people's handwriting. It says it already that they have to write on it, but now we're just making sure they understand by write we mean print. So they have their signature, but also they print and for the petitions. The next paragraph has to do with archaic language, that's ballot labels and other archaic portions of the elections. Page 14, you'll see that again, the voting machine labels, voting machine facsimile, no longer used, so we're updating the language. Page 15, again, that's ballot labels, twice on that. Page 16, that has to do with the district attorney, as we talked about earlier. That's filed at the county level. So now we also have the district attorney, comma, county, to make sure everybody understands that's all those attorneys, where it used to just say attorney. On page 17, well, we're including the word special election. Before it was just a primary and general. We just want to make sure everybody understands that it also includes special elections now. In page 18, it's the county clerks who handle that. It's not the Secretary of State's office that handles that. So therefore, we're making sure everybody understands that goes to the county clerk. Bottom of page 18, before it just said people of political parties, now including the independent candidates. Move down to page 20 of 32. The punch system is no longer used, so therefore we're moving the punch there. Ballot labels are being removed on page 21. On page 22, we had a requirement in there for 20 feet around the voting booth. Some county clerks said at certain locations they cannot comply with a 20-foot buffer, so therefore we just changed it to protect the privacy of the voter and remove the 20-foot mandate. But still will ensure there's privacy for people in the ballot booth. Line 12, that has to do with technological updates. The people are now using the voting machines. On the bottom of page 22, the circuit court judges are included on the elections, and you'll see that going out to page 23 as well. And on line 16 on page 23, we have the special districts. Before, it was just the hospital districts, but this is all special districts. Make sure everybody understands that. Page 24, removing ballot label as well. And that also goes into the process. The Secretary of State doesn't handle that, but the county clerks will handle the situation regarding that aspect. Page 25, removing ballot label as well. Page 26, the residence address portion. That also is on page 27. On page 28, voting machine ballot labels, no longer use the voting machine ballot labels. 29, for people filing for office, removes the residence address as we did in the other portions. And then also on line 8, it includes when you file where your residency is, where you're residing at. And then on page 30, we no longer use facsimile diagrams and ballot labels. And you see on 31, getting rid of the same information. And pending any questions, I will stand and ask for the question.
Do we have any other discussion on the bill? Are we ready for the question? Question being called, all those in favor of Chairman Berger's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that Senate file number 25 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Senate file number 25 has passed Committee of the Whole. Majority Floor Leader Brown.
Mr. Chairman, for the rest of the afternoon, here's how far I want to get. Going down your list. 107, 91, 17, 48, 80, and 86. And I'd like to be done by 4 o'clock. Any help you can give me would be appreciated.
The next bill for our consideration is Senate file number 107. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate file 107 from Senator Bebout, an act relating to insurance, requiring language to be included in a certificate of insurance, providing definitions, and providing for an effective date. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, to whom was referred Senate file 107 engrossed, reports back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. There were 9 aye votes, 0 no votes, signed by Representative Berger, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Berger?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
I move that when the committee of the whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that Senate File 107 do pass. I defer to Representative Petroff to explain the bill.
Representative Petroff.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This bill has been around the block, and it is now back, but this time with new and improved language that I think everyone agrees on. The point of the bill is to say that an insurance policy is the policy, and that a certificate of insurance doesn't supersede or alter an insurance policy. And the reason for it is that a lot of companies are asking for really specific information on certificates of insurance. But, of course, a one-page certificate isn't going to have all of the intricacies that the policy is going to have. So we just need legal clarification that the policy is the document that we use, and that the certificate's for information only. There are also provisions in the bill that a person can't issue a certificate with false or misleading information. And to very quickly go through the bill, on page one, it says that certificates must be filed and approved by the insurance department. On page two, it says that the commissioner can disallow certificates that are either unfair, misleading, deceptive, violate public policy, or violate any laws of the state. The second half of page two talks about surplus lines, because those, of course, are from out-of-state companies, so that they would have a form approved by their state, or if their state doesn't have an approved form, then another standard form. On page three, we specify that the certificate of insurance has to say that the certificate is issued as a matter of information only and doesn't confer any rights upon the certificate holder. On line 10 of page 3, we talk about not being able to demand or request the issuance of a certificate that a person knows contains false or misleading information. Page 18 of line 3, we talk about to whom the provisions apply. And on page 4, in section G, we say that the certificate is not a policy and does not alter the policy. Section H, we say that that the certificate cannot contain references to any other contracts other than the insurance policy itself. On page 5, we talk about the people entitled to receive notice of cancellation or non-renewal, and that those people are only the people defined in the policy or the endorsements of the policy itself, not just certificate holders. And then on the bottom of page 5 onto page 6 are the definitions. And with that, I'll stand for any questions.
Is there any other discussion on the bill? Are you ready for the question? Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman Berger's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that Senate file number 107 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, say no. Senate file number 107 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is Senate file number 91. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate file 91 from Senator Rothfuss, an act relating to the administration of government and privacy, creating a task force, providing for a study of privacy rights in relation to digital information technology, providing privacy-related principles for the task force study, requiring a report, providing appropriations, and providing for an effective date. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, to whom was referred Senate File 91 engrossed, reports back to the House with a recommendation that a do pass. There were 9 ayes, 0 noes, signed by Representative Berger, Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Berger?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that Senate File 91 do pass. Ladies and gentlemen, I do have a standing committee amendment, which I'll move for adoption. This is a task force, and so what we needed to do is on page 2, line 19, we want to add for the interim of 2014. And then on page 6, line 15, we needed to add language that after 2016, but that there would be a report due October 1st, 2014. And what that would do is contain the recommendations addressing the issues specified in the subsection, and then allow for policy development that could be recommended for the next legislative session. So that's what the Standing Committee Minute would do, and I'd ask for your favorable aye.
You have heard the motion on the Standing Committee Amendment. Is there any discussion on the amendment? Are you ready for the question? Question having been called, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, say no. Standing Committee Amendment number 1 has been adopted. We are back on the bill.
And I will defer to Representative Byrd to explain the bill.
Representative Byrd.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and Chairman Berger. Colleagues, I bring you Senate File 91 today, Digital Information Privacy Task Force. This is a bill that would create a task force relating to digital information and privacy. That seems to be one of the hot topics that's going around here. I know all of you have got a lot of emails about it. In fact, one of the other matters that we took up actually did fold in some security matters. Basically, what we're doing is creating a task force, and I'll walk through the bill for you real quickly here. Skipping down to Section 1, Subset A, it says there is created a task force on digital information privacy consisting of the following members. We take 2 members from the Wyoming Senate. We take 2 members from the Wyoming House. We take 3 members that are appointed by the governor. One of those members shall be the director of the Department of Enterprise Technologies, or his designee, and that is basically to have somebody with a full-time IT background and digital information security experience on this task force. If we skip down to subsection B, that's the first insertion from the Standing Committee Amendment that you approved, and we're just changing that for the 2014 interim period after the subsection B in front of that. And it goes on to include who else shall be associated with the task force. It should be staffed by the LSO. We are going to use the University of Wyoming in an advisory capacity to provide more technical and relevant information, and other state agencies that have any sort of technical expertise that we can leverage in it. So going over to page 3 now, it talks about that we should hold 3 public meetings in 3 different areas of the state, and I guess that makes House District 45, Representative Storage Shed, eligible to have a meeting there. We go down to Section C. The task force should study the following as related to digital information privacy. And these are the topics that will be covered inside the task force as they meet. And Romanette I, the first one is who is considered the owner of digitally stored private information about individuals. Again, this would be referenced back to the other topics that we've taken up in this body this year, some relevance there. Romanette II, assessment of threats to consumers from the international intentional or inadvertent compromise of digital stored private information. Romanette 3, identification on how consumers might be protected from those harms by implementation of privacy protection principles through legislation, regulation, or education. Romanette 4, any relevant judicial decisions or federal statutes that may affect privacy protection of digitally stored information. Romanette 5, identification and comparison of the ways to ensure privacy protections are enforced, for example, through the self-regulatory initiatives, legislation, regulations, or other forms of third-party investigation. Romanette 5, other issues the task force may consider, useful, encouraging, appropriate safeguards. And then we skip down to subsection D, Before we get there, those are the topics that would be in the report. Again, the standing committee report that you did adopt, that's line 6 through 15, are relevant to that report, and those would be the topics covered in there. Additional topics under subsection D in conducting the study, the task force, these are just things that they'll be looking for. Collection of personal data should be by lawful and fair means, and we go under that in Romanet 1 and 2 to describe what that should entail. Personal data should be relevant for the purposes for which they are used and to the extent necessary for those purposes should be accurate and complete and kept up to date. Subsection Romanet 3, purposes for which personal data are collected should be specified and data subjects should be notified directly if the data are to be used for other purposes. So the rest of this is basically like that, and I'm, for the sake of time, Mr. Chairman, I'm just going to start highlighting this. The next section, Romanet 4, is subject to legal obligations to corporate law, subsection Romanet 5, personal data should be protected by reasonable security safeguards. Sub Romanet 6, there should be a general policy of openness about developments, practices, and policies with respect to the entities maintaining and storing personal data. We have Romanet 7, individuals should have the right to correct inaccurate data relating to them being held by another organization. Again, this would be relevant to some topics that we discussed earlier in this body. Subsection E, in conducting the study, the task force shall consider the following interactions. And then we have Romanets 1 through 3 that tell you about the interactions between private individuals and each other and governmental entities and organizations. And I think that's fairly self-explanatory. We'll skip down to subsection F, another of the dictates for the task force, that they shall submit the recommendations, including proposed legislation, with respect to the issues of specified in subsection C. That's the one above where the reporting requirements are defined. And to a committee designated by the Management Council and the Governor on an interim basis no later than October 1, 2014, and October 1, 2015, with a final report no later than October 1, 2016. Another part of your standing committee amendment is inserted here about the reporting requirements. We'll skip down to subsection G. The task force shall exist. This basically defines how long they will be around. It does sunset until December 31, 2016, the members of the task force are not state employees or legislatures who shall receive salary but shall receive the reimbursement as we do per diem as specified in Wyoming Statute 28-5-101. Members of the task force who are legislators, which is different, will be paid salary per diem mileage as provided in Wyoming Statute 28-5-101 for their official duties as members of the task force. There is an appropriation of the general fund for the calendar year 2014. Romanet I under H tells you that that is $20,000 to the legislative, for the services of the Legislative Service Office. Romanet II, $10,000 to the Governor's Office for payment and authorized per diem and mileage of non-legislative task force members, and Section 2 is the effective immediate date. And I stand for questions. Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Madam Speaker Pro Tem.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I request that we move Senate file to the bottom of the list. It will need to be re-referred because of an appropriation, and I think the Majority Floor Leader can take it from there.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Chairman, please move
Senate File 91 to the bottom of the list, and we will deal with it after we conclude Committee of the Whole. And the next bill then, Mr. Chairman, will be Senate File 17.
Pause for just a moment. On that note, the next bill for our consideration is Senate File number 17. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 17 from the Corporations Committee, an act relating to insurance, providing for the transmission of electronic notices or documents related to property and casualty insurance and insurance policies, providing limitations, providing for posting of property and casualty insurance policies and endorsements, and providing for an effective date. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, to whom is referred Senate File 17, engrossed, reports back to the House with a recommendation that a due pass for the following amendments. There were 9 aye votes, 0 no votes, signed by Representative Berger, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Berger?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that Senate File 17 do pass, and I further move the adoption of the Standing Committee Amendment, and I will also move Committee of the Whole Amendment 1 to Senate File 17. So let's go ahead and dispense with the Standing Committee Amendment 1 to Senate File 17, and its address is on page 2, where we, after, on line 17, after law, we insert including Chapter 35 of the Code, and then on line 20 of page 2, we delete the rest of the sentence after mailing, and line 21 we delete entirely. So it's just to make certain that everything is coordinated together in doing electronic and also the mailing process. If there are no questions on Standing Committee Amendment 1, I'd ask for your favorable aye.
You've heard the motion on Standing Committee Amendment number 1. Question having been called, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye. All those opposed say no. Standing Committee Amendment number 1 has been adopted. We are back on the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I move Committee of the Whole Amendment number 1 to Senate File 17. We are on page 10, line 10. It's a technical. We need to change it from 26-3501 to 26-3502. I ask for your favorable consideration.
We are on Committee of the Whole Amendment number 1. Question having been called, all those in favor of Amendment number 1, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no. The amendment is adopted. We are back on the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I will defer now to Vice Chairman Zwanitzer to explain the bill.
Vice Chairman Zwanitzer.
Hey, Mr. Chairman. Senate File 17, I thought about walking through you page by page with you, but let me just tell you what it does. It's a technological update bill to keep in line with the times. Basically, the world is changing, and consumers now want the possibility of getting their insurance information electronically. Many of you will have seen those TV commercials where they pull over the pig in the car, and the pig hands the officer his phone and says, "Here's my insurance card." That's partly what we're talking about. Also talking about being able to email your insurance information. In the generation that I'm in and younger, we move around quite frequently, and sometimes our mailing address doesn't move as quickly, and so this allows us to get our insurance information electronically. It is an opt-in provision that people who want this, you know, we've heard several insurance companies testify they're already doing this. Many more want it. Actually, even kind of what I consider the most conservative insurance company in the state said this is the way of the future, and we're on board. So consumer-friendly, safety in place. Happy to answer any questions.
Is there any other discussion on the bill? Question having been called, all those in favor of Chairman Berger's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation That Senate file number 17 do pass, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no. Senate file number 17 has passed committee of the whole. The next bill for our consideration is Senate file number 48. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate file 48 from the Travel Committee, an act relating to Wyoming Cultural Trust Fund Board, expanding membership on the board, providing for ex officio membership on the board, removing voting right of ex officio member, specifying qualification for board members, providing an appropriation, and providing for an effective date. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 2, Appropriations, to whom was referred Senate File 48, reports back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. There were 7 aye votes, 0 no votes, signed by Representative Harshman, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Chairman Davison.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Senate File 48 do pass, and I further move the adoption of the Standing Committee Amendment. And I'll explain the amendment first. On page 2, line 9, this is just trying to make it clearer what the language says. You insert who are residents of Wyoming, and on page 2, line 10, you delete all that language, the new language. In page 2, line 11, you delete Wyoming. That's the amendment.
You've heard the motion on the Standing Committee Amendment. Is there any discussion on the amendment, or are you ready for the question? Question having been called, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The Standing Committee Amendment number 1 has been adopted. We are back on the bill. Chairman Davison.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. What this bill does is just change the makeup of the Wildlife and Cultural Resource Interim Committee, the Wyoming Cultural Trust Fund Board. And what it's doing is moving it from 5 members to 6. On page 2, line 6, it says that the administrator of the division shall serve as an ex officio member without a vote. And on line 9, it goes from 4 to 5. Line 10 is where we deleted that and moved it up above. And line 11, it just says it'll reflect a broad spectrum of experiences. And then line 16 is where we change it from 2 people to 1. Line 20, we do add 2 people. And on line 23, we add 2 more nominated by the Wyoming National Register. And there is appropriated $3,000 for the expenses of the new board members.
Is there any other discussion on the bill? Question having been called. All those in favor of Chairman Davison's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it does so with the recommendation that Senate file number 48 do pass, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no. Senate file number 48 has passed committee of the whole. The next bill for our consideration is Senate file number 80. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate file 80 from Senator Anderson, an act relating to real estate licensure, amending provisions regarding violations of the real estate licensure statutes, amending requirements for designated real estate licensees, and providing for an effective date. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 3, Revenue, to whom is referred Senate File 80, reports back to the House with recommendation that it do pass with following amendments. There were 8 ayes, 1 excused, signed by Representative Madden, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Madden?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Senate file number 80 do pass, and I further move the adoption of the Standing Committee Amendment. And to explain briefly what this does, I'd like to have the representative from District 38 do that.
Representative Walters.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We'll start with the Standing Committee Amendment. If you go to page 2, line 12, in the bill, the word "the" had been stricken. We're reinserting that. Then on page 3 is where the remainder of the amendment goes. There's some renumbering, some reworking of it. But principally, if you look at line 11, that section A, the complete section there will be deleted. And then it will be renumbered to a section 4. And then it also will, at the beginning of the new section 4, which was section B, it will say a salesman who instead of the salesman. And that cleaned it up so that it will read more correctly. And so with that, I would ask for your vote and call for the question on the Standing Committee Amendment Number 1.
You've heard the motion on the Standing Committee Amendment Number 1. The question having been called, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, signify by saying no. Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 has passed. We are back on the bill. Representative Walters.
Thank you. I'll briefly explain what this bill does. It's a cleanup bill from a 2011 rewrite of the real estate licensure laws. On line 10 and 11, the subparagraph where it's discussing the owner and the leasor, that just is being changed to buyer-seller to make it more consistent with how the rest of the statute reads. So that's very much a cleanup. Again, on page 2, subparagraph double little x or two little x, however you want to look at it, which is line 16 and 17, this is being inserted because some folks using a real estate agent are there because they want to buy, some are there because they want to sell, and the way it was written, it only allowed for one, and so this new language allows for buyers and sellers to be using a real estate agent. And then cleaning it up on page 3 where we were just discussing that standing committee amendment just explains how a new broker will be working with an existing licensed broker. And so if there's any questions, I'd be happy to answer those. If not, I'd call for the question.
Is there any other discussion? Representative Greer.
Mr. Chairman, and just a quick question on page 2 line. Well, it's line 16. So this is revocation of a license for failing to obtain a written listing agreement identifying the property or type of property to be acquired. Does that mean they make a distinction between personal and real property that's okay? When I see that, when you want to say identifying the property, you'd want to be more specific as to that. In a lot of terms in the legal world, we can classify property as just personal and real. Is any discussion on that particular issue?
Representative Walters.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. There was no discussion on that. This was really just to identify that you were either obtaining the services of a realtor to buy a piece of property or to sell a piece of property, and the real side of it was never discussed. Sorry, that doesn't answer it any better.
Representative Greer.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, that's okay. I'll visit with the bringer of the bill afterwards.
Representative Walters.
Thank you. Please vote aye for this bill.
Are you ready for the question? Question having been called, all those in favor of Chairman Madden's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, do so with the recommendation that bill Senate file number 80 do pass, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no. Senate file number 80 has passed Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is Senate file number 86. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate file 86 from Senator Dockstader, an act relating to roads and highways, providing that no person shall obstruct or injure a public easement or right-of-way, providing a penalty, and providing for an effective date.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Chairman Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Senate file 86 in gross do pass. And I'll take an attempt to explain this bill. Ladies and gentlemen, what this bill is trying to solve, especially up in the northwest part of our state, we have folks that camp in the right-of-way. And every summer when they want to go and do some weed removal or do some fence repair or whatever they want to do beside the roadway, they send notices out to the property owners and such, but they're having a problem at this moment of people just camping right there beside the road. And there's nothing in the statute that addresses that problem, and that's why this bill comes. So if you look on page 2, it obviously adds right-of-ways and easements, but toward the middle of page 2 to the bottom, it does have penalties that if you stay there, then you can be fined up to $100 and or you can be removed by the sheriff. And so what they're trying to do is just get a stipulation in the statutes that allows them to remove those people when they go out and say, hey, you're camping in our right-of-ways, and they say, yes, I'm aware of it, but I'm sorry, we're not moving. This allows them to be removed. I would stand for any questions.
Is there any other discussion on the bill? Representative Hunt.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And really quickly, I'm just wondering, what about the issue of, say, moving livestock down a highway? That's sort of the obstruction of traffic, and I guess potentially you could say that it could damage a right-of-way if they graze the grass and, spread manure on the road, stuff like that. So has that been taken into account?
Representative Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Similar question. If there's some person that has to come down to Cheyenne during the winter months of the year and worked late down here and drives home late some evening, gets tired, pulls off the road and falls asleep, can he be given a $100 ticket, or she?
Representative Chairman Zwanen, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Of course, I am not the chairman of the Judiciary Committee, but the statute as it is now, they send notice out prior to when they're doing a lot of the work. So if they're doing some work on the right-of-way, they'll always notify the owners or the people involved. So I do not believe there's any quick tickets given for people parking on the road overnight if you have a flat tire. This involves only those times when they come out and say, tomorrow we're looking at doing a little weed mowing, and they cannot get the people to remove themselves from the premises.
Representative Laux.
Mr. Speaker, during committee, a lot of the discussion had to do more with rural roads that possibly the property the road is an easement on is their property, and it had to do with people that live right there in a ranch setting or a rural setting, and they might have stuff in the easement way, and they just didn't have a mechanism to force them to move that stuff when they were going to clean the ditches or do some work on it. It's pretty simple. Thank you.
Do we have any other discussion on the bill? Questioning having been called, all those in favor of Chairman Zwanitzer's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that Senate file number 86 do pass, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no.
No.
The chair is in doubt. All those who are in favor, please stand. All those opposed, please stand. Senate file number 86 has passed Committee of the Whole. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Chairman, since 91 went away and won't be considered until Monday, I want to do one more bill before we quit. Senate file 101.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Eklund.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. May I have the privilege of the floor?
Please proceed.
In the North Gallery, we have an assembly of young people and 4-H leaders. This is the 100th anniversary for 4-H, and we will be celebrating that Many of us were in it when we were growing up, and it's a great program, has been for years. I want to quote something that was said by a lamb judge before a contest. He said, "This is a lot more about raising kids than lambs." And that's the best summation I have of it. It's a wonderful program.
Welcome to the House. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File Number 101. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 101 from Senator Von Flattern, an act relating to motor vehicles, amending specifications for license plates and special license plates, and providing for an effective date. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, to whom is referred Senate File 101, reports back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. There were eight aye votes, one no vote, signed by Representative David Zwanzer, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Chairman Zwanzer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that Senate File 101 do pass, and there are no standing committee amendments, and I'll turn over the explanation to the fellow that conducts business.
Representative Blake.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. There's a couple handouts I got handed out. One shows a license plate on it. The other one has a letter from a county association and a letter they had to send. What this bill does on page 2, lines 9 through 12, and also on page 4, lines 15 through 18, is we are adding, after the county number on the left-hand end, the license plate may also contain a distinctive symbol or letter as determined by the department, including vehicle type. What is happening is, with the electronic, like when you fly to the airport to the south of us, there are cameras that take a picture of your license plate. When you go to the Bay Area on the West Coast, you drive across that big bridge, there are cameras that charge you a toll. What is happening is the cameras cannot decide if it's a Wyoming truck, if it's a Wyoming car. There are people who've been turned over to collection agencies because they say, I wasn't in the far west state, but they've got a bill that says, yeah, we got it on camera. There's no way to discern. A lot of license plate frames cover the bottom of the plate where it says truck. So what the department has already printed all the, thank you for the scores back there. Appreciate that. What the department has already printed, all the car license plates out there, they're already printed. We're waiting on the truck plates. So what we're concerned about is to put the identifying thing right after the county number. So nothing's going to change, and it's probably going to be only on trucks. If it doesn't have a T on it, it's going to be for a passenger car. So there was a horror story out of down in Texas. Actually, a Wyoming resident was jailed overnight because they couldn't prove that wasn't their car. So there's something we need to fix. We had testimony from the Highway Patrol from the agency that patrols our highways, that we need to do something in this. It's just going to get worse and worse as more and more cameras become prevalent out on the, and it's for red lights too. If you're on a red light, they flash a picture of your license plate. You may get a bill sent to you, and you may not even been there. This should clear things up, and I'd stand for any questions, Mr. Chairman.
Further discussion, Representative Croker.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So just a question for clarification. Does that mean it's possible for two license plates to have the exact same number on them?
Representative Blake.
That is absolutely correct. The only thing at the bottom, it says truck, but the highway patrolmen from other states may not know that. They're just going to read off, like, this license plate is from Four County, and if it doesn't have the T, they're just going to go. So you can have a car that has the same number, a truck has the same number, a motorcycle has the same number. What they think they want to do is just put the T right there. So we're not going to lose our buck and horse, not going to lose our county's number. Thank you.
Further discussion, Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I do just want to confirm for the last questioner, I myself have 225 on my car and 225 on my truck.
Representative McKim.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm one of those that received a ticket from New York City for illegally parking. New York City. Illegally parking. And they had my license plate number on there and had the ticket included in with my bill. And I thought maybe it was one of the scams you get in the mail, you know. So I took it up to my chief of police, and I says, would you please call and find out? And he called, and it was true. They had that number. And then he says, would you please fax me a copy of the ticket? Well, the ticket had a car on it. This happened to be my truck plate. So I had to send my registration for my truck to them, a copy of it, to get that ticket canceled. We do have double license plates in the state of Wyoming. And if they don't have that, you can get billed for it. And we all thought, well, hey, this is simple. All you got to do is send that in to the national database. They'll look it up and decide what's right, what's wrong. We found out there is no national database for vehicles. They send it in and then send a request to the state, who in turn sends that information back to them. So I ask you to vote aye on this particular bill. Thank you.
Further discussion, Representative Laux.
Mr. Speaker, there was good discussion in committee on this, and we have county treasurers that are concerned with letters they have to write, and it really doesn't look like that many. I'm proud of our license plate. I just wish we'd leave it the way it is and not try to accommodate the other states around us and their shortcomings because they don't know what they're doing. Thank you.
Further discussion on the bill, Representative Kirkbride.
Mr. Chairman, we have license plates nailed on the wall of the family barn dating back into the 30s, and they don't have no stinking T on them beside the county number. So we'll vote for it, but we don't have to like it.
Any further discussion? Question having been called, all those in favor of Chairman Zwanitzer's motion that when the committee of the whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that Senate file number 86 do pass, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Let me step backwards just a moment that when Senate file number 101, Senate file 101 do pass, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no.
No.
Senate file number 101 has passed Committee of the Whole. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Chairman, I move Committee of the Whole rise and report.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The motion carries.
Reading clerk will read the Committee of the Whole report.
Mr. Speaker, the Committee of the Whole, having had under consideration bills on general file, beg to leave report as follows. Senate file 67, recommended do pass. Senate file 68, recommended do pass. Senate file 10, amended, recommended do pass. Senate file 16, recommended do pass. Senate file 100, amended, recommended do pass. Senate file 24, recommended do pass. Senate 25, recommended do pass. Senate file 107, recommended do pass. Senate file 17, amended, and further amended. Recommended do pass. Senate file 48, amended, recommended do pass. Senate file 80, amended, recommended do pass. Senate file 86, recommended do pass. Senate file 101, recommended do pass. signed by Representative Winters, Chairman.
Representative Winters.
Mr. Speaker, I move the adoption of both sections, the morning and afternoon sections, of the Committee of the Whole report.
You've heard the motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Committee of the Whole report, it's been adopted. Congratulations, Representative Winters. Referral of bills first. With that order of business, a re-referral of bills. Chairman Berger, do you have a re-referral of a bill?
Mr. Speaker, sorry for the delay. I would like to re-refer Senate File 91 to Appropriations Committee Number 2. And just to explain to the body, it was a task force and it had an appropriation of $20,000 that I did not see and should have done yesterday. So sorry for the delay.
And without objection, Senate File 91 is referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. We're not that order of business of messages from the Senate.
Message number 225, Mr. Speaker, the Senate did concur on House amendments to the bill listed below. Senate file number 6, groundwater contested cases, 28 ayes, 1 no, 1 excused. Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 226, Mr. Speaker, the Senate did concur on House amendment to the bill listed below. Senate file 78, the Jason Flatt Act-2. Ayes 19, noes 10, 1 excused. Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 227, Mr. Speaker, the Senate did concur on the House amendments to the bill listed below. Senate File 75, Environmental Protection Agency Actions, dash 2. Ayes 29, noes 0, excused 1. Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 228, Mr. Speaker, Senate File number 33, County Board of Equalization, dash 2. The Senate failed to concur on House amendments to the bill listed above, which was Senate File 33, ayes 0, noes 29, 1 excused. The Senate requests the House appoint a conference committee to 01, the number 01, to meet with the like committee from the Senate to report recommended amendments to the bill for final consideration by both houses. Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Mr. Speaker, the President appointed Senate conferees to meet with a like committee number 01 from the House on amendments to Senate File 33. The Senate conferees are Senator Peterson, Chairman, Senator Case, Senator Von Flattern, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 230. Mr. Speaker, Senate File number 55, the Hathaway Student Scholarship Program Award Increase. The Senate failed to concur on the House amendments to the bill. Ayes 15, noes 14, 1 excused. The Senate requests the House to appoint a conference committee number 01 to meet with the like committee from the Senate to report recommended amendments to the bill for final consideration by both houses. Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 231. Mr. Speaker, the President appointed Senate conferees to meet with a like committee number 01 from the House on amendments to Senate File 55. The Senate conferees are Senator Coe, Chairman, Senator B. Bout, Senator Nicholas, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 232. Mr. Speaker, the Senate did concur on House amendments to the bill listed below by the vote indicated. Senate File 20, Local Governments, dash Legal Publications. Ayes 27, noes 1, excused 1. Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 233. Mr. Speaker, Senate File number 12, State Education Program, failed to concur on House amendments to the bill listed by the above vote. Ayes 1, noes 28, 1 excused. The Senate requests the House to appoint a conference committee number 01 to meet with the like committee from the Senate to report recommended amendments to the bill for final consideration by both houses. Signed by Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 234. Mr. Speaker, the President appointed the Senate conferees to meet with a like committee number 01 from the House on Amendments to Senate File 12. The conferees are Senator Co-Chairman, Senator J.D. Anderson, and Senator Rothfuss, signed by Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk.
With the that order of business of concurrence, a request to concur with Senate amendments to House bill. The first message for our consideration is message 213 on House bill 2 or House bill 25. Chairman Berger.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move concurrence on House bill 25 and ask for your favorable consideration. Ladies, this is And gentlemen, this is our Funeral Service Practitioner Act, House Bill 25. And what we need to do is make a correction on page 41. If you remember, this was discussing the duties of funeral directors. And so on page 41, line 17, after ceremonies, we add, this is a list of exemptions. And what we're adding is except for providing the presence of human remains at the religious service. And this is to make the language compatible with page 42, Romanette 2, line 4, where we have the exact same language. And so they can perform the funeral, other people can perform other duties, but they cannot handle the human remains. If there are no other questions on this amended form, I would ask for your vote aye.
We're voting on the motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill number 25. A majority of elected members is required. The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Baker. Baker. Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Blevins.
Aye.
Flickery.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Coleman. Coleman. Connolly.
Aye.
Davison. Eklund,
aye.
Esquibel,
aye.
Filer,
aye.
Freeman,
aye.
Gay,
no.
Gingery, Gingery excused, Goggles,
aye.
Greer,
aye.
Green,
no.
Halverson,
no.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Hunt,
aye.
Hutchings,
aye.
Yagi, Yagi,
no.
Kasparic,
aye.
Kirkbride,
aye.
Croker, Crone, Larson, Lockhart, Laux, Madden, Mader, Mader excused, McKim, Miller, Moniz, Nicholas, Northrup, Northrup, Northrup excused, Patton, Paxton, Petroff, Piperinen, Reeder, Simlick, Summers, Stubson, Teeters, Throne, Walters,
aye.
Watt,
aye.
Wilson,
aye.
Winters,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dan,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
Baker,
aye.
Coleman,
excuse.
Coleman excused. I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Northrup, an aye. Northrup, excused to aye. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 53 aye, 4 no, 3 excused.
By your vote, you have voted to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 25. The next concurrence request is message number 214 on House Bill 32. Chairman Davison.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move to concur on House Bill 32. I move concurrence. What this does is on page 6, on line 9, they had an that after you registered your
let's see. After you paid your registration fees, you had 30 days after acquiring ownership of a snowmobile before it was operated in the state of Wyoming. It's just a change in the time. And I'd ask for your yes on this.
We're voting on a motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill number 32. A majority of the elected members is required. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Baker. Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Blevins.
Aye.
Flickrey.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Hurd.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Coleman. Excused. Connolly.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Filer.
Aye.
Freeman.
Gay.
Gay. Gingery, excused. Goggles.
Aye.
Greer.
Aye.
Green.
Aye.
Halverson.
Aye.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Hutchings.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Kasparik.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Croker.
No.
Crone.
Aye.
Larson.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Laux.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
Mater, excused. McKim.
Aye.
Miller.
Moniz, aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Northrup,
aye.
Patton,
aye.
Paxton,
aye.
Petroff,
aye.
Pieperinen,
aye.
Reeder,
no.
Simlek,
aye.
Summers,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Cheaters,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Walters,
aye.
Watt,
aye.
Wilson,
aye.
Winters,
aye.
Swanitzer Dan,
aye.
Swanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
no.
Gay, Gay excused. I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 52 aye, 4 no, 4 excused.
By your vote, you have voted to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 32. Conference Committee on Senate File 33 will be Representative Madden, Chairman Petroff, and Blickery. The conferees on Senate File 12 will be Representative Teeters, Chair, Walters, and Connolly. The Conference Committee on Senate File 55 will be Harshman, Chair, Larson, and Northrup. We're at that order of business of standing committee reports.
Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 2, Appropriations, to whom is referred Senate File 11, engrossed. Reports back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Blickery, Burkhart, Escobar, Harshman, Moniz, Nicholas, and Stubson, signed by Representative Harshman, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 2, Appropriations, to whom is referred Senate File 91, engrossed. Digital Information Privacy Task Force, respectful reports sent back with the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Failed pursuant to House Rule 4-8. Those who voted aye, Representative Escobar, Harshman, and Stubson. Those who voted no, Blickery, Burkhart, Moniz, and Nicholas, signed by Representative Harshman, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 2, Appropriations, to whom was referred Senate File 97, engrossed. Respectfully report saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representative Burkhart, Escobar, Harshman, Moniz, Nicholas, and Stubson. Representative Blickery voted no, signed by Representative Harshman, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 2, Appropriations, to whom was referred Senate File 106, engrossed, State Education Administration. Respectfully reports back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Blickery, Burkhart, Escobar, Harshman, Moniz, Nicholas, and Stubson, signed by Representative Harshman, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, to whom was referred Senate File 96, engrossed. Workforce Services Independent Contractors reports back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Coleman, Green, Harvey, Kasparik, Larson, and Wilson. Those who voted no, Representatives Barlow, Filer, and Throne. And it is signed by Representative Harvey, Chairman.
With that order of business of signing of enrolled acts, the first enrolled act for our consideration is House Enrolled Act Number 12, being Original House Bill Number 11.
Enrolled Act Number 12, from Original House Bill Number 11, an act relating to the Wyoming Controlled Substance Act.
I'm about to sign House Enrolled Act number 12 being original House Bill 11. I have so signed. The next enrolled act for our consideration is House Enrolled Act number 13 being original House Bill 20.
Enrolled Act number 13 from original House Bill number 20, an act relating to fire prevention and electrical safety.
I'm about to sign House Enrolled Act number 13 being original House Bill 20. I have so signed. The next enrolled act for our consideration is House Enrolled Act number 14 being original House Bill 24.
Enrolled Act number 14 from original House Bill 24, an act relating to registration of motor vehicles.
I'm about to sign House Enrolled Act number 14 being original House Bill 24. I have so signed. The next enrolled act for our consideration is House Enrolled Act number 15 being House Bill 34.
Enrolled Act number 15 from original House Bill number 34, an act relating to municipal solid waste facilities cease and transfer grant and loan program.
I'm about to sign House Enrolled Act number 15 being original House Bill 34. I have so signed. The next enrolled act for our consideration is House Enrolled Act number 16 being original House Bill 71.
Enrolled Act number 16 from original House Bill 71, an act relating to capital leasing by school districts.
I'm about to sign House Enrolled Act number 16 being original House Bill 71. I have so signed. The next enrolled act for our consideration is House Enrolled Act number 17 being original House Bill 91.
Enrolled Act number 17 from original House Bill 91, an act relating to banks and restricted transactions.
I'm about to sign House Enrolled Act number 17 being original House Bill 91. I have so signed. The next enrolled act for our consideration is House Enrolled Act number 18 being original House Bill 96.
Enrolled Act number 18 from original House Bill 96, an act relating to professional assistance programs.
I'm about to sign House Enrolled Act number 18 being original House Bill 96. I have so signed. The next enrolled act for our consideration is House Enrolled Act number 19 being original House Enrolled Act 147.
Enrolled Act number 19 from original House Bill number 147, an act relating to the Wyoming Infrastructure Authority.
I'm about to sign House Enrolled Act number 19 being original House Bill 147. I have so signed. The next enrolled act for our consideration is House Enrolled Act number 20 being original House Bill 33.
Enrolled Act number 20 from original House Bill number 33, an act relating to juries.
I'm about to sign House Enrolled Act number 20 being original House Bill 33. I have so signed. The next enrolled act is House Enrolled Act Joint Resolution 1 being original House Joint Resolution 1.
Enrolled Joint Resolution Number 1 from Original House Joint Resolution Number 1, a joint resolution requesting Congress to support Taiwan's participation in appropriate international organizations and to resume free trade talks with Taiwan.
I'm about to sign House Enrolled Joint Resolution 1 being Original House Joint Resolution 1. I have so signed. We're now at that order of business of committee announcements. Mr. Majority Whip.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your joint conference committee number one on Senate File 103 will meet upon adjournment today in room S5.
Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number nine will meet at 8 o'clock Monday morning to consider interim topics, and it will be a joint meeting with the Senate side.
Chairman Davison.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, will meet at 8 o'clock on Monday morning to go over interim topics.
Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 10, Labor, will meet with the Light Committee upon adjournment on Monday, March 3rd, in room H17, to review interim topics.
Chairman Harshman.
Thank you. Sounds like, Mr. Speaker. Thank you, Ms. Speaker. Your committee number 2, Appropriations, will be Monday, March 3rd at 9 a.m. in room 204 to talk about interim topics.
Madam Speaker, pro tem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee 7, Corporations, is going to meet on Monday, March 3rd at 8 a.m. in the Senate room 19 for their interim topics. Following that meeting, there will be a select committee on legislative technology and process at 9 a.m. in Senate Room 19.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, good work today. Thank you, everyone. I move that the House adjourn until Monday, March 3rd, 2014, at 10 o'clock a.m.
You have heard the motion. All in favor say
aye.
Those opposed, no. House is adjourned until Monday, March 3rd, 2014 at 10 a.m.